Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, my name is Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we'll be exploring ways to reimagine church. Today, I am pleased to welcome Dr. Steve Pardini, who will be discussing environmental stewardship. Steve has a PhD in physical chemistry from Iowa State University and a Master of Divinity from Eastern Mennonite Seminary. He is active in the Creation Care Group at Harrisonburg Mennonite Church in Virginia and has written a congregational study resource that will be published soon. Steve, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so good to have you. Even though you're from Iowa State University, I'm from Texas, so you know, University of Texas fan. We like beating up on Iowa
State.
All right,
yeah, I get that.
Well, thank you. But we are discussing reimagining church. And so reimagining an organization involves transforming how it operates, thinks, and achieves its goals. It's about taking a fresh, innovative approach to every aspect of the organization to enhance its efficiency, adaptability, and overall success. So if you could reimagine one thing about Mennonite Church USA, what would it be and why?
All right, so one thing that's been on my mind is how MCUSA casts and counts its votes at delegate assemblies.
Oh, wow, okay, all right.
I believe that we should find a way to cast and count votes accurately, but include people who cannot be physically present at the delegate assembly, but are participating by a virtual connection.
Okay, all right.
In my mind, this way we would broaden the voices and the number of people involved in the MCUSA decision-making process.
Okay, all right. That's all right. That's, you got real specific with your reimagining. Okay, so those are some things that we need to think about, and processes are important. So how do we bring more people in?
Right.
Right. Okay. We have all these tools, this technology that we can use. So why not use it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question for us to think about.
All right.
Now, you are really involved in the environment. So environmental stewardship. Tell me a little bit more. What is that? What is environmental stewardship? So as we think about that.
Right. So for me, it's responsible stewardship and faithful care of God's creation in a simple statement.
Okay. And how did you get involved in that? What made you passionate about that?
So it grew out of my scientific background.
Okay.
And so I have knowledge of the root causes of climate change.
Okay.
But it also grew out of a passion that was developed while I studied at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, of finding ways to be witnesses that make improvements in areas where there's either misinformation, lack of information, injustice, where we're going in directions that are not being good stewards, and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now your church is involved in a number of things. I think you have solar panels, a community garden. You've been involved in tree planting. And so how do these things integrate with our faith and who we are as Anabaptists?
Right. So I'll speak primarily from the HMC perspective, but I think that you could apply it more broadly. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
So, as I mentioned a moment ago, being responsible stewards and faithful caretakers of creation is the theme that we're following and trying to put into practice at HMC.
Yeah.
So for the community garden, for example, here we invite neighbors and members of the church to come and grow some of their own food using ecologically sustainable gardening practices.
Okay, all right.
And this has been very successful. Over the years, the number of gardeners has increased and we've become more culturally diverse.
Okay.
On the solar panel project.
Okay.
There, we're using sunlight to make electricity. Most of the electricity that we get comes from burning fossil fuels.
Right.
Fossil fuel burning produces CO2. Mm-hmm. That's a greenhouse gas, and greenhouse gas buildup in the atmosphere is driving climate change. Now, fortunately, God gave us more than one way to make electricity. We do not have to only use fossil fuels.
Okay.
So at HMC, we're using sunlight to sustainably make electricity and reducing our greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah.
All right. On the tree planting project.
Okay.
Here, one of the things we're doing is planting trees to reduce the amount of fossil fuels needed to mow grass.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we're creating a biodiverse campus, which has native trees, and it's being laid out in such a way that it can be used for spiritual reflection, fellowship, and recreation. And the other thing about tree planting is trees remove CO2 from the air.
Yes.
So by planting trees, we're reducing our carbon footprint as well.
Yeah.
So I would say that the community garden, the solar, and the tree planting projects are a biblically based, spiritually motivated act of obedience to God.
Okay.
And at the same time, it is a witness to the community of responsible stewardship and faithful care of God's creation.
All right. And so do the members of the community, do they all attend your church? Would you say they're all Christians?
No.
Okay.
No, we are inviting people from around the church who are actually, some of them are English is a second language. Mm-hmm. We have people from different continents all over the world coming. And they do not have to be members of the church to participate in this.
Yep. So can I just come and like grab an apple or what are the rules?
Have rules. Okay. We have rules that you have to follow, you know, ecologically sustainable gardening practices. So there's some guidelines there.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. People bring their culture with them and you see their different gardening practices. It's absolutely fascinating to watch this.
Yeah.
But you respect each other. Mm-hmm. For example, I went on vacation. My neighbor from Honduras watered while I was gone.
Okay.
He's not available. I water while he's gone. So we have that kind of interconnection.
Yeah.
It's a great place of building community.
Yeah. And so if someone is going to do something like this in their community, I mean, do you have any backing of the, say, the city, or is it still pretty much contained to the?
We have gotten backing, especially on the tree planting project, from the city.
Okay.
They have come in with grants. We have to plant only native trees.
Okay.
We have to plant them in certain ways so that they will thrive.
Mm-hmm.
They come in and they check to see if we're following their steps.
Okay.
And then when they do, they start giving us the checks. We buy more trees, we plant more trees. So it's a two-way, you know, kind of connection, and we try to make it win-win.
Yeah. So are there ways that is this an intergenerational thing, or is this?
So on the tree planting day, we invited our neighbors, and you get a free tree.
You get a free
tree.
Come.
And you get a free lunch.
What kind of tree do you get? Like,
I got a red bud. I absolutely love red buds.
Yeah,
okay,
like red
but
buds.
There are many muddy trees that we have that you could have gotten. Okay,
no kudzu.
Sorry, we're not doing kudzu.
Okay, all right. If you're from the South, you'll get the kudzu.
That's not a native. That's not native.
I know.
All right. But we gave them a free lunch.
Oh, wow.
We also had youth groups from different churches join us. We had people who found out about it from other church communities, not just Mennonite churches.
Okay,
so we had a very good group working together.
Yeah, so you're not only meeting needs, but you're bringing people together.
That's we try to do both.
Okay. And so what challenges have you faced with doing this type of project?
Right. So the most significant challenge we faced was on the solar project.
Okay, just putting up the solar panels.
Yes.
Yeah.
About a decade ago, an attempt was made to do a solar project, and it encountered some roadblocks, and opposition grew over time, and eventually the project was shelved.
Okay.
So in 2022, a group of us got together and we decided to revisit the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking a class at seminary at the time, and I said, one of my papers I have to write is on church, resolving church disputes. And so what I did was confidential, candid interviews with people who were involved in the first project. So I got their true feelings. And then from that, we decided that we would develop what's called a constituency model. And here what we did was we involved the pastors, church elders, church council, and the building and ground committee. So as we developed the solar panel project plans, we checked off with each of those constituency groups and got their input. And so finally, when the final plan was put together, we had full alignment and full support from these four constituencies, and then we went to the congregation as one voice. The project was approved, and in a very short time, the funds were raised. So since startup in 2022, we have produced 120 million watt hours of electricity. We've reduced our electricity costs by $12,000, and we've reduced our carbon emissions by 90 metric tons. Right now, we're producing one-third of the church's electricity. Our vision is to do 100% with solar panels.
So what was the, if you, I don't know if you can get into this, but what was the, why did the first project fail? Like, what was the opposition?
Well, we think primarily there was breakdowns in communications. And so people started, you know, drawing their own conclusions because the information they had was not there or wrong. And so you start to see how disagreements maybe can develop over time. And when that happens, then you start getting these, what I would call roadblocks that that really takes the energy away from trying to accomplish your main goal.
And so people weren't probably, the concern wasn't like, oh, we hate solar power. That, I mean, that wasn't the issue, was it? Like, hey, we just want to burn fossil fuels. I'm from Texas, and I got a, my oil stock has to go up.
There were some. Some who were skeptical of the whole idea of solar. And so we worked hard to hear their voice and to make sure that their concerns were addressed as well. And that was what we tried to do the second time around.
I think that's important. And you see, I mean, I don't know what where people are with this energy and which energy is better. I mean, it's a lot of stuff in the media, but it seems so simple. Hey, we can get free electricity. We can get use the sun and not burn, you know, carbon-based fuels. It seems like a simple thing, but we still have to address the disagreements and really have to educate
people. We really do. And there was a variety of things that people were concerned about. And so we tried to give them the best knowledge that we had and help them put together an understanding that helped them to see that this was a viable project for the church. In multiple ways. As a witness to the community, financially, you know, church council's on board. You mean you're going to save money? Okay, we're going with it, you know, and so forth. And the pastors could see the theology of it, you know, that it fit into what we're trying to do as a faith community.
Now, one of the things that we're dealing with in society is all these polarizations. And again, do you, I mean, have you all found it challenging to navigate this, that maybe you're being too, I don't know, progressive or leaning more towards just one side because you're thinking about environmental concerns? Are those challenges that you have to deal with?
Yes, we do. And we shouldn't let that prevent us from acting in ways that is with integrity, with transparency, and with the goal of being able to help people understand. A lot of what we run into is based on misinformation or false assumptions. And so it impacts their whole frame of reference. And so what we're trying to do is give them the opportunity to process new information and maybe start to revise some of those assumptions that they're using. And over time, if their frame of reference changes, then there is movement from skepticism to more support and alignment, or maybe you know, less opposition. You may not get them totally on board, but they're not going to be pushing back as hard.
Yeah. Well, what are some practical things that congregations can do if they want to get into something like this?
Right. So, first of all, every congregation, mm-hmm. no matter how large or how small, can practice responsible stewardship and be a witness of creation care.
Okay.
All right? Every congregation.
Okay.
So what each congregation needs to do is identify where are the needs, what areas can we make improvements,
mm-hmm.
and then to look at what resources has God given us.
Okay.
Then use those resources to meet those needs, to make real improvements in a way that pleases God and aligns with God's plan for that church and
okay.
creation.
Okay.
But also, equally important, the people working need to be curious together.
Okay.
They need to discover together.
Mm-hmm.
They need to work together. Mm-hmm. They need to be willing to learn together. That means if there's something that doesn't quite work, it's not a failure, it's a learning experience. And then together you do spiritual reflection and informed action.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come out on the other side of that, you know that action produces hope,
yeah.
reveals purpose, and creates meaning.
Okay, I like that. Mm-hmm. Now, but you know, you're thinking like a scientist now, right? About testing things out. If it doesn't work, you reflect on it and figure out what you need to change.
All right, so it's more than science.
Okay, all right.
Because to me, yes, science has a lot of curiosity and learning and, uh-huh. and experimentation. But this spiritual reflection and informed action is based on processing how we are feeling.
Okay.
Are we working together well? Are we communicating well?
Uh-huh.
You know, because those dynamics are equally important. So it's not just science. It's a matter of the heart, the spirit, mm-hmm. and the community working as a body of believers.
Okay.
All right? With, you know, knowing who it is
uh-huh.
that we serve.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's okay. that's excellent. And I just want to touch on a few things that I think goes back to some of the other guests we've had on this season. But one of the things you mentioned is identifying the need, because you said that no matter what size you are,
right.
that you have something that you can do, that you can offer. So identifying the needs in our community, figuring out what resources we have, what
that's
gift
right.
God has given us.
That's right.
And then acting according to God's plan.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
It seems simple.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we have a hard time doing these
we
things
We do
sometimes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We do indeed. But if I think, you know, a community that is coming together,
yep.
you have everyone is providing a resource,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Yeah.
And so you just have to harness that collective resource.
Yeah.
And so you have to me, it starts with relationships, life-giving relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that,
yeah.
then the little things that come up that become potential roadblocks,
uh-huh.
you work through them
yeah.
with confidence.
Yeah. Well, it's not lost on me that as you read the Bible, especially the stories that Jesus told,
yeah.
a lot of them revolve around agriculture, planting,
that's right.
and sowing and working together in those right. types of environments. So it seems to me like you are modeling some of those things in what you all are doing.
We are trying to.
Yeah.
Very best we can.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So as you promote these things, have other congregations asked to join, like other churches asked to join?
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question. So we are involved in a local group called Churches for Creation Care.
Okay.
And also Shenandoah Valley Faith and Climate.
Oh,
so
wow, okay.
the Churches for Creation Care is an ecumenical organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we just recently had a time of fellowship and sharing at Harrisonburg Mennonite Church.
Okay.
People brought snacks, and each church talked about their own ways that they're doing responsible stewardship and
okay.
faithful creation care.
Yeah.
And a lot of information was shared.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a guest speaker come in. You know, we talked a little bit about how we can do projects like installing solar panels mm-hmm. for low income, improving
oh.
insulation in homes.
Yeah.
And so we all gathered around that. We think we might be able to provide some resources
oh, okay.
for that.
Yeah.
So And then also with the Shenandoah Valley Faith and Climate, there it's kind of pushing out into the secular community. You know, how can we be a voice to those who have a decision-making authority mm-hmm. on these areas that are important to us? So, you know, make sure that the local council is going to continue to fund these tree planting programs, mm-hmm. or how can we move, you know, more towards carbon neutral energy
right.
resources and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's both at right. the same time.
Well, it seems to me like, you know, the concept of the community garden is something that any community anywhere could adopt. I just wonder, I mean, have you thought about why more people don't do that? Do we not want to give away free food? We feel like, hey, people can just go out and pick some corn. Right. Actually, I'll tell you the story. I saw this guy, I was driving by, he had some corn in his backyard. And I was like, why haven't I thought about that? Like, I was thinking about planting some bushes, but I could little plant a little row of corn.
Right. So almost my corn is ready today.
Okay.
When I get done here,
maybe
I'm
it was your house that I planted.
I should have brought you a cob.
Yeah, I would have.
I was going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not every church has the green space.
Okay.
You know, some of them are right in the middle of an urban area.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even urban areas have places that you could convert
yeah.
into a green space.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of someone with a vision
okay.
and people willing to come together and make it work.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you seem really excited about that. Your passion comes through about mm-hmm. this project, and it seems to be something that really is impacting the community. And I think it's a way for us to do church in a different way, right?
Yes.
It's not just about sitting in the pews,
nope.
singing hymns, but you're out there in the soil, getting your hands
yes.
dirty.
Yeah.
Doing the solar work and planting trees.
Yes. And I want to say thank you
All
for
right.
giving us this time and willing to let us share some of our story.
You're quite welcome. And I think it's really important for us to reimagine church and how we do things and think creatively about what we do as a ministry. Again, some of the things, if you've been watching us all season, for us to pay attention to is, what is the need? Let's identify the needs in our communities and then figure out what resources and tools that we have and that we can start doing the work that God has called us to do. All right. Thank you so much, Steve. Well, as we get ready to wrap up, if you want to keep up with the latest and greatest that is happening in Mennonite Church USA, make sure you subscribe to Piecemeal. Piecemeal is our weekly email newsletter. Subscribe at MennoniteUSA.org/piecemeal. Also, we depend on your financial support. It does matter. Please consider supporting the ongoing work of Mennonite Church USA at MennoniteUSA.org/give. Thank you so much for joining us today.